majority of AARP members in Arizona, we belong to the Arizona State Retirement System, and that is a well-run system, and that's a defined benefit system. And therefore, in the end of things, you still have money coming in. You do not lose, well, like you would do in defined contributions, where once your contributions are gone, that's it. So in defined benefits, until you die, you will have a pension check coming in. I mean, it's not, may not be much. It's the average pension check in Arizona, you know, is a little over $1,000 a month. But they make, it sounds good when you say they make $19,426 per year, which is $1,619 per month. Now, some checks, of course, if you've been retired for a long time, that number will not be an accurate number of $1,619. It could be down, clear down about $500.
Yeah,
so it makes a difference.
Yeah, Lou, we're fighting to protect the income that seniors have spent a lifetime paying into and making sure that their Arizona families are able to count on that for their relatives in old age. And that includes not just the state retirement systems, but private pensions and Social Security itself, like you mentioned. We are taking a national position that Social Security should be a separate discussion. It's still generating surplus income from workers paying into it, and it should be a separate discussion from the overall federal budget reduction. So we've got lots going on pensions.
Yes, and I wanted to make a point with this because, you know, they think people have a misconception on the ASRS pensions, is that you think you're just getting this sum from them, and it isn't, because the members put in half and the employers put in half, and therefore it's not a strain on this government or the state, because we both have donated to this, so it's our money, and let's put it that way, and I don't mean it to sound greedy, but that's what it is. It's our money. It's our employer puts half, we put half, and makes it a very viable pension by staying with defined benefits.
People on these pensions are very ill at ease these days because there's a number of issues that keep being brought up about them at the legislature, and they feel somewhat insecure in those benefits. But those benefits protect Arizona families, and in particular, rural families. They're one of the sources of income of rural areas that can be counted on month in and month out and contribute to the rural economy. And also, you know, the children of people receiving pensions are then able to devote their financial attention to their children going through college or struggling to make their way in the world, rather than having to fund their parents in their old age like before we had these pensions.
Let's move on to the next issue, because it's also important to how our state seniors manage their own households, and that's fighting for the utility consumer. How did that come up from your members about this being an important issue? Because it surprises me that it's so high on the list.
Well, yeah, Lou, and that's a good question. You know, actually, that's not so much a legislative issue as it's handled over at the Corporation Commission, the so-called fourth branch of government in Arizona. But, you know, we just had, you may remember, we've had two big fights this year. We've had the fight over the solar, the cost of the solar people, and we've had this fight over deregulation of letting other entities come into the state and sell power. The issue we're currently working on there right now the Corporation Commission is considering allowing people, the owners of private water companies, you know, a number of people here in the state have water delivered to them by private water companies. They are considering requiring people that get that water to pay the personal income taxes of the owners of the private water companies. That's the taxes they would owe from selling the water to the people. And we think that's a really bad idea, so we're fighting that over at the Corporation Commission. We're afraid that if they allow that with the private water companies, then we expect the bigger entities, like maybe APS, which has thousands of shareholders, to come in and say, hey, we should pay the shareholders' taxes, income taxes from the sale of the electricity to people. So we think it's a bad precedent, and that's the issue we're fighting with on utilities at the moment. But, Lou, that is over at the Corporation Commission and not at the legislature.
What strikes me about that, though, is and sort of related to the first topic on protecting retirement income, is that seniors are really in the position of having to watch where every dollar goes when you're on a fixed income like that.
Yeah, a lot of older people, Lou, are women that have outlived their spouses and have very small pensions, or maybe not pension, only Social Security, and already they're spending every penny carefully clipping coupons and watching where their money goes. So, we all live in this society where these prices increase on all sides of us, and it's a very serious issue. So utilities are something, you know, people have some control over, but not too much in a climate like ours where it gets so hot during the summer.
Let's move on to the next issue, because this is really an issue that affects every family, and that's long-term care for an aging population. Sometimes people can't stay in their homes, sometimes even forced out of their homes in order to get long-term services or support. Obvious to me why that's an important issue.
You know, it's interesting, Lou, because people can now be in old age longer than they were in childhood with our rapidly lengthening lifespans. And so people, as they age in place, can require a little assistance. And, you know, Arizona families are really excellent sources of care for their loved ones. About 80 to 85% of the care that older people get, and I'm talking about people in their mid to late 80s and 90s, are from their families or their neighbors or people that go to their churches, these informal support networks that we build in our lives. In fact, AARP estimates that at any given time in Arizona, there's over 850,000 caregivers, people giving care to older relatives, and that if you value that amount of care at about $11.50 an hour, it's much larger than any that the state pays for. It's about $9.4 billion of care a year are provided by Arizona families and neighbors.
Yes.
To older people. We're talking about licensing businesses that send non-medical caregivers into people's homes. But what we're doing with the legislature this year is we're asking that they conduct a legislative study of the issue and come up with some ways that Arizona can support not only licensure of non-medical caregivers, but the families that are providing the care for their relatives. There's a number of different ways people can be supported, and the chief one would be that when an older person goes in the hospital and is going to be released, that the hospitals train whoever the family caregiver is on treating that person, on how to dress their wounds, on how to give them the right medications, on how to help them get up and get to the bathroom. Those sorts of things, how to do that correctly, are very important and can help people recover quickly and remain in their homes longer and save taxpayers money.
Well, and I think that issue even comes up for people who end up using one of the managed care facilities. You want to make sure that facility is also has good oversight and that the quality of care is being delivered properly.
Yes, definitely. And you as the consumer and the caregiver for your loved one, when you go into one of those managed care, you want to be able to have the right to go to who's ever in charge and say, look, I do not think my loved one is getting the ABC care that they need. And you have a right to speak up to that and make sure it changes for them.
We only have a few minutes left, so I want to move on to some of the two remaining issues. And one is opposing arbitrary tax and spending limitations, and specifically TABOR initiatives. Explain a little bit about how that affects seniors in the state.
Well, the issue, we're lucky on that this year, Lou. It isn't as much of an issue as it has been in the past, but legislators like to get out their crystal ball and say, let's limit what the state can ever do with its money and pass a law or a constitutional amendment that says that the state budget can only grow at such and such a rate. And we don't believe anybody can read the future. We don't know how many wildfires there will be or other costs for the state. And we have elections periodically to elect the sort of people that will take care of our state budget. So we just generally oppose. One is called TABOR,
Taxpayer Bill of Rights.
Yeah, and that's something we fight every year. But this year, that isn't so much of an issue at this point, is it, Virginia?
No, so far it's been kind of...
We've been lucky.
Yeah, real lucky
so
this
far.
Year.
So far, but we're watching on that one.
And then let's move on to the last issue. And this, people who get scammed or caught in auto title loans or predatory lending, I guess from talking with your members, that it is an issue that's concerning them.
Well, you'd see these auto title places have sprung up all over, mostly in neighborhoods where families have incomes between $20,000 and $40,000. And if they have an emergency, like a car that takes them to work and their kids to school breaks down in a major way, or medical issues, if they're uninsured, they go to these lenders. And so we watch the bills there, and there's a bill this year. It's actually of a different sort of lender. It's called a small lender that lend people less than $10,000, and the state law limits them currently that they can only charge 36% interest. That's huge interest.
Right.
On the first $500 they lend, but after that they can only charge 24% interest, all the way up from $500 up to $10,000. And they've come, one of the companies that does that has come in, there's 144 outlets of this sort in the state, has come in and asked that they be allowed to charge 36% up to $3,000 instead of the $500, and we're opposing that. That's passed out of committee, and it's on the floor of the House, so we're fighting it over there, and then we'll be over fighting it in the Senate. But you can see these types are complicated, this legislation, but we're trying to keep the interest rates down when people have to go to those sort of lenders for help with their daily emergencies.
Well, I thank you both for talking with us. That's Virginia Brandt, Volunteer Chair of AARP Arizona's Advocacy Network, and Steve Jennings, Associate Director. Both Brandt and Jennings say it's too early to grade the state legislature on these issues. They say they'd like to wait a while before making an assessment. If you'd like to learn more about AARP Arizona's advocacy priorities, visit aarp.org/AZ.